Elise Link joins us now. Think Link Media, a regular Monday guest on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Elise, how are you today?
I'm doing great, John. You?
Pretty good. Okay, Elise, let's talk about something else. I said you are going to share with us the fastest growing age group in the American workforce is what?
Believe it or not, it's Americans over 75 years of age, John. Here we are thinking that we're nearing the end, but no. That number, the people who are over 75, fastest growing age group in the workforce, according to Pew Research Center, they have a new research report out, and that has quadrupled in size since 1964. But not only that, it's expected to double in the next 10 years.
If you want to work, if it's your family business or you're a greeter at Walmart or you're still engaged in engineering and this is satisfying to you, I'm happy for you. But this number strikes me as being kind of sad.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who are working not because they're intellectually engaged. I think they're working, to your point, because they can't afford it. They are nervous about the amount of money they have from Social Security, worried that they don't have enough to pay for food and heat and light and, you know, transportation. And so they are working so that they continue to get the kinds of benefits that a lot of people take for granted.
I suppose it also speaks to the fact that people live longer now, live healthier and live longer.
Yes, they do. We are seeing people live into their 80s as an average, which is, of course, as high as it's been in a long time. We've come back from that little dip, mostly from the pandemic. And so I do think that there's some of that, you know, as well. But certainly when you look at how much older workers are earning, it's kind of a surprising amount. And what it speaks to is that the quality of the jobs that they're getting, you know, if you're 65 plus and you're earning $58,000 a year, it's a pretty good amount of money. That's a little more than part time.
Wait, what number did you just share with
50, us? 50, the mean annual earnings. Right. So average annual earnings for somebody age 65 plus last year, $58,600. And if you're 25 to 64, it's only just a bit above that, $73,700.
Okay. So you're making less than you used to, but maybe that's to be expected. But you're still making, $58,000 is not what it used to be. Okay, but that's maybe reason to get out of bed, $58,000. But you also have a statistic, the percentage of adults 65 and older who are working. What percentage of adults 65 and older are, in fact, still in the workforce?
Right. So it's interesting. The percentage of adults who are working, age 65 plus, is 19%, just about 20%. Are working. And in 1987, it was only 11% of adults 65 plus. So that is quite a bit higher than it used to be.
It is. It's not double, but well, 22% would be double. It's 19%. But what do you make of 19%? Does that sound high or low to you? Are you surprised by that?
I'm a little bit surprised. But, you know, when you think about the fact that they're
looking
at... For
what reason? Is it high to you or low to you?
I think it seems a little bit low. I think that number is going to be higher. And if it doubles,
I would have guessed 50%. I would have guessed 50%.
Yeah.
Of people 65 and older. Well, I guess, okay, I'll bet the percentage of 66-year-olds is closer to 50%. But we're talking about 65 to 100. So it's going to be discounted by the fact that people over the age of 85 aren't working, and a lot of people are over the age of 85.
I mean, you just see people who are in the public eye who are much, much older, right? Harrison Ford is over 80. Clint Eastwood is 93. My mother was 80 or 82 when she stopped working in real estate.
Wow.
Her estate attorney was 94. He just retired last year.
Well, my parents are not working and haven't been for a long time. But what I've noticed is that a lot of the caretakers for elderly people are themselves elderly people, are over the age of 65, if that's the number we're talking about. Elise Link is talking to us in amazing terms about the age that people are still working. Americans over 75 are the fastest growing age group in the workforce, over the age of 75. And Elise, you also said people 65 age 65 are making $58,000 a year.
Yeah, one way to put that into perspective, John, is back in 1964, people who are age, working people 25 to 64, earned five times as much as seniors age 65 plus. In 1987, they earned twice as much, and now they are only earning about, I don't know, 15% more
right.
than somebody 65 plus. So the wages have really come together for people who are older, and it's kind of surprising to me.
And I know we're throwing a lot of numbers here, but $58,600 is the median salary for people 65 plus. So again, I'll bet the 66-year-olds are making well north of $58,600, and maybe the 79-year-olds are making a little bit less. But so the idea that you're working in your 60s is not entirely anomalous, especially considering the fact that you can make some decent coin. And the question is, are these people doing so because they want to or because they have to? And your colleague and mine, John Hansen, said, as pensions go away these days, the burden is on us to self-fund our retirements. John guessed, we're just not good at it. So 65 comes along, and instead of guaranteed income and a pension, we go, oh, crap, we don't have enough money. Hence working much later, going back to work when you realize you aren't getting to the finish line with the cash you thought you would get.
Well, one other thing to keep in mind, John, is that 65 is no longer, it's like the new 55,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I jokingly say that, but not really, because we have time shifted everything by about 10 to 12 years in this country. So we used to buy our first houses at 26. Now it's 34, 35. We used to have our first kids at 26, 27. If you're in a major metropolitan area now, you're getting married in your maybe 33, 34. You're having your first kid at 34, 35 or 38. And then you might have another one at 40 or 42. Well, what happens when you're 40 and you have a baby? You know, when you're 58 to 60, that kid is going off to college. They're finishing college when you're now 63, 64. And if you've got a couple of kids, you know, you may, and there some, maybe some are going to go to grad school.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not. But that stretches out the time that you have, you know, kids at home and living with you. Plus, don't forget, you and I talk about this all the time, there's a huge percentage, about 64%, if I'm remembering correctly, of adults who are now financially supporting their kids, their early adult kids, so in their early 20s or even into their 30s, and they're paying an average of, you know, $1,400, $1,500, $1,600 a month for those children. So all of that together might be just another reason that people are pushing off. It's just easier to afford everything if you're still working.
219 also just said, look, working means social engagement. It keeps you moving physically. Mm-hmm. Both are good for us as we age. Amen. As I said, if you can and want to, then more power to you. But if you feel like you have to, then we need to rethink that. Give me any updates you have on real estate in our last minute.
Yeah, sure. 40% of renters think they're never going to be able to buy a home. That's up 27% last year. So that's a big jump. Has a lot to do with the price of homes going up and the fact that a huge number of Americans have very low mortgages and they don't feel like selling. So they're not. Nobody can buy up. People are renting and they wish they could buy, but they can't. So that was from Redfin today. I think that's a little bit distressing. Another distressing thing is that mortgage rates are approaching 7% again. We saw some higher than expected inflation numbers, higher than expected employment numbers. The economy is doing very well. Bond traders don't like that so much.
One last point from one of our listeners, as it is tax day. John, please ask Ms. Glink if it is a better idea to overpay your taxes and get money back.
I never think it's a good idea to overpay, but that said, I usually end up getting a refund and I just push it over into what I owe for the next year. Hard to make that all work out, but you're better overpaying than underpaying.
Well, considering how Americans don't save enough, put too much on credit, if you had that money in your pocket, which is the idea, don't lend it to the government, and then even pay your taxes if you owe, but best if you break even. But it just seems to me like people are hard-pressed enough to come up with the cash as it is. This will sound counterintuitive, But it seems to me like you're almost better letting the government keep it at no interest rather than you putting it in your pocket and buying things you shouldn't be affording anyway.
Well, I don't disagree with that thinking, although it's not going to make you rich. If I'm here to make you rich, I'm going to tell you that's not your best move. But if that's how you're saving money and you need a big chunk, a few grand right now coming back to you from the IRS that's going to really be meaningful, and this is the only way you can do it, do it. But next year, maybe try to increase your 401k just slightly. It'll take that money out, but you'll be making much better use of it from the get-go.
Like they say, pay you first. That's Elise Glink, owner of ThinkLink Media. Thank you, Elise.
Always a pleasure, John.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Williams here. You know how if you need a parking spot, you use that spot hero. One of the guys that made his mark there is off to a new venture now, and that's Elon Mosbacher, who is the co-founder of now a company called Pinch, which has just seen $3.5 million in startup funding come their way. Elon, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
John, grateful to be here. I'm doing great, and thanks to all your listeners for tuning in.
Yeah, likewise. Well, so what's Pinch do?
Well, Pinch is solving a problem that arose during the pandemic and shortly after, which is as many as 75% of consumers these days want a side hustle or side gig. And specifically, healthcare professionals are really burned out, and it's especially hard for them to start something on the side. So what Pinch does is we build a platform that helps healthcare professionals become their own entrepreneur. Specifically, we launched in Illinois, in the Chicagoland area, as a concierge med spa, where we enable nurse practitioners to treat clients in the comfort of their own homes.
What kind of services are they providing?
So today we're live with about 50 nurse practitioners, and they focus entirely on aesthetics medicine. So think things like Botox, filler, chemical peels, IVs, all sorts of luxury self-care treatments that more and more people are wanting, and we do that all in the comfort and convenience of your house.
So instead of going to the spa comes to me. These are nurse practitioners that are doing this. What does that mean? Registered nurses or LPNs?
So that specifically means someone who's a nurse practitioner did go to RN school, and then they actually go to additional training on top of that. So a nurse practitioner or an APRN is one of the highest level trained nurses out there. And we specifically work with them based on both their clinical training, their education, and the regulatory environment in Illinois is very favorable to allowing nurse practitioners to see patients in their own home versus in a traditional healthcare environment.
Yeah, I understand that. So people that are in that employment space are burned out, as you said. They'd like to try and find a way to still make money or maybe additionally make dollars. Maybe they are still working at a hospital or a doctor's office. Is there a market, though, for those services? Do people, in fact, want the spa to come to me, or do people prefer going to the spa?
That's a great question. So I think one of the trends that we're seeing, in addition to a lot of folks being burned out of their day job or wanting more flexibility, autonomy, and economic earning opportunity on the healthcare side, is that consumer demands have changed quite a bit. So if you think about all the services that folks get at their home, whether that's, for example, a grocery delivery at their home as opposed to going to the grocery store, there's a segment of millennial and Gen Z consumers who essentially are nesting in their houses and they want everything to come to them. So whether that's a busy professional who wants a treatment between Zoom calls, or maybe a busy parent who doesn't have time to carve out for themselves to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more demand in the medical spa category in general, and specifically with having the flexibility and convenience of being treated in your own home.
Is medical spa a category per se, or are you inventing that?
So medical spa is actually a category. Today, there's about 10,000 retail medical spas around the country. And that industry is growing about 27% year over year. And that specifically means a place that people go to get medical grade spa treatments. So think about, probably the most well-known treatment in the space is Botox, whether that's preventatively to prevent the onset of wrinkles or to smooth them out later, as well as a whole series of treatments that you can only get from a medical professional, as opposed to a traditional maybe esthetician or someone giving you a facial mm-hmm. in a spa.
Do you anticipate expanding those services beyond the cosmetic area?
So today we are live in Illinois. We work with exclusively with nurse practitioners, and we started in the medical spa space because that's when we talked to nurse practitioners about the types of jobs they wanted to have, the types of side gig opportunities. That was the number one thing we heard over and over again. In the long run, our vision is to build a platform where we are in many geographies, have many types of healthcare professionals, and offer a range of treatments. And so, for example, the providers on our platform today have backgrounds doing everything from fertility treatments to allergy shots and a whole lot more.
Sure.
And so this is just a start. And ultimately, we hope to expand to many more categories to create as much economic opportunity as possible for healthcare professionals, as well as bring as many healthcare services in-home to, again, busy parents, busy professionals, and people who don't necessarily have the time to get out of the house and go carve out half a day for an appointment.
So your business is called Pinch, and you say it's live now. You have practitioners ready?
We're live in the Chicago, in Illinois, specifically serving the Chicagoland area. We've done treatment in over 250 zip codes. So, you know, anywhere within a reasonable driving distance of the city. Yes.
Hmm. Do I just like go on on an app? Do I click on I want this service on this day? What's the interface like?
So the way it works is you go to our website, which is bookpinch.com. So B-O-O-K-P-I-N-C-H, like to book an appointment. And you simply say where you're located, when you want an appointment, and the type of treatment that you're interested in. And you have the option to choose a nurse practitioner or have us assign one to you. And then you basically fill out your usual consent forms, but instead of doing it in the waiting room, you get to do it in your living room. And the nurse practitioner shows up, treats you, it usually takes 15 to 30 minutes, and they're on their way.
Ilan Mosbacher is the co-founder of Pinch, and one more time, book Pinch.
Bookpinch.com.
Yeah, creative. Good luck to you, Ilan. I hope it goes well.
Thank you, and thanks to all the listeners today.
You bet. On WGN, more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. UL Solutions made its stock market debut, and its share price rose 25%. The Northbrook-based company's initial public offering included the sale of nearly 34 million shares to banks and institutional investors. At midday today, UL Solutions' share price was just under $35 per share. The safety testing company was founded in 1894 and reported sales of $2.7 billion last year, with a profit of $276 million. The future of Oberweis Dairy is uncertain following a bankruptcy filing. The North Aurora company filed for bankruptcy protection last Friday and listed more than $4 million in debts. The company owes money to a trucking company, a food products wholesaler, and the Cook County treasurer. Oberweis was founded in 1915, and company officials haven't commented on next steps for the company. The company is owned by family members of former Republican State Senator Jim Oberweis. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you for that. And now the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I was looking through the new copy of the Costco magazine. And, well, before I get to that, today's report is sponsored by the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com. There has never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, the Costco magazine came in the mail, and I was looking through it, and on page 12, there is a photo of a man from Lamont. Yeah, Lamont, Illinois, standing beside tomato plants that are taller than he is, which got me thinking that it isn't going to be long before there will be tomato plants to buy at stores all over the place. And a LaGrange Park guy who has carved out a niche in the heirloom tomato market is on the phone.
This is Bob Zini, the Chicago Tomato Man.
Yeah, years ago, Bob started growing heirloom tomatoes from seed in his basement because
I want everyone to experience the, you know, just transcendent flavor of a real tomato.
Well, come on now. The tomatoes in grocery stores are real, aren't they?
The ones you grow yourself have flavor. The ones that you get in supermarkets have texture, and that's about it.
This all started as a hobby.
I hated those tasteless travesties they sell in supermarkets and failed for the first 3 or 4 years. That was about 20, 25 years ago, and then very gradually learned to keep them alive through the spring in my basement.
And he got so good at it, and he grew more than he could use, so he started giving them away, and then word got around, and he started selling them, and word got around even more. And this year, Bob?
Yes, this year we will sell 10,000 tomato plants.
Wow, quite a little cult you've cultivated.
Yeah, they all suffer from the heartbreak of OGD, obsessive gardening disorder.
Yeah, you order online and then select a pop-up location in the Chicago area to pick up your plants in May.
And there's a pop-up calendar on the website.
ChicagoTomatoMan.com.
The final delivery day is June 2nd, June 1st and June 2nd.
ChicagoTomatoMan.com. From the Illinois hog farm to your belly, it is National Spiral Cut Glazed Ham Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Joining us now on the Wintrust Business Lunch, Jay Rosati, Director of Career Development at Rosati's Pizza. There's a thing called Rosati's University now. Jay, is this your idea? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? It was an idea that, you know, originally was how we initially grew. I'm actually a part of the Rosati family. And so my aunts, uncles, dad, and grandpa, they'd all be working in the store together. We had guys that were on our team that worked in the store for over a decade. So when it came time to expand, we'd turn to our manager and say, hey, let's cut you into this store, give you a bigger reason to care, and we're going to go open up another one. So, you know, we have about 12 to 15 of those guys still running in our locations, and we took those same concepts and made this program Rosati's University.
How many Rosati's restaurants are there?
Yeah, so there's over 200 locations across the U.S. Within the family.
So is this an apprentice program for your restaurants, or what do I get?
Yes, yeah, so let me just give you the rundown of the program itself. So Rosati's University is a paid four-year program that acts as an alternative to college and leads to owning your own franchise. It kicks off with 5 weeks of what we call our basic training, learning each week the basics of each aspect of the restaurant. Then it's 2 years into our university, learning all those basics and expanding them. 8 different courses, learning in 12-week increments. The next 2 years, so a total of 4 years, is our management training. And in our management training, you train to be a manager. Once you get placed as a manager, you finish out the rest of the program. And after 4 years and some change, we invest in you. So we put the money up for your store, and a portion of your profits pay that investment back. Typically, that share is about 20%.
Over the course of that 4 years, where I'm working for the company but getting an education from the company, am I getting paid? Do I pay you? What's the status of that?
So money never comes out of your pocket to pay Rosati's. We pay you to go through the program hourly when you're working in our university as a basic employee. You train 6 months in our management training to train to become eligible for a management position. And once you get placed as an assistant or a general manager, you get a salary.
It seems to me like franchises, isn't the idea usually there's McDonald's, there's Starbucks, and then they own some stores, but you can buy a franchise. And the purchase price for a franchise for a successful brand across America is very expensive, right?
Of course, of course. And it, you know, for us to open up a brand new build out with all the bells and whistles is $500,000. So, you know, but there's a lot of hard workers out there that have the capabilities to run a successful business. And we've been building, you know, throughout our entire existence in 64, the tools and the success plan. So we figured we'd build this program. And what we're our model, what we kind of have existing today, is where people with money can invest in their Rosati's. Like you said, you know, they have the money, they put it in. But the thing is that doesn't tell us that they know anything about pizza. That just tells us that they have money to run a pizza store. And what we were finding is oftentimes we'd have people that come in with money, open up a Rosati's, and in about 2 to 3 years, that Rosati's would close. And it's because they didn't know anything about pizza.
Yeah.
This program, we're more than willing to reinvest in a candidate who's put 4 years of their time to open up a store that's going to continue those same values that we started since day one. And like I said, it's the same thing that we used to do back in the day. I have guys that are training people within the program that had this same deal in an informal way where our family members gave them ownership.
Sure.
And they're still running the stores. And those are our most successful stores.
Well, and anybody that's willing to commit 4 hours, pardon me, 4 years,
to
pre-employment, if you will, is somebody who's committed to the company and and the idea. But just one last question. Describe for me your prototypical candidate. Who do you imagine takes advantage of this?
Yeah. So, you know, what I tell people, I go to, we've been in over 30 schools and been to over 15 career fairs. And when I'm talking to these kids, I tell them, I say, this isn't a program for pizza makers. I could get a pizza maker anywhere, anytime. This is a program for entrepreneurs, business-minded individuals with a drive and passion for success. It's a franchise program where the model is Rosati's Pizza, but these skills that candidates can gain from our program, they're applicable anywhere in any industry of business. And so that's really what, you know, what we're telling these kids they get out of it is you're learning how to be a business owner.
But do you imagine this is somebody? Do you imagine this is somebody who's going to college, not going to college, maybe was in the workforce previously and they're transitioning?
Right. So we're looking for that ambitious kid who's a graduating senior from high school. Typically, of course, we'll take anybody who maybe college isn't an option, or maybe college isn't. You know, just what they want to do. It's becoming a big trend where I've gone to a lot of these schools, and even though kids kind of have the money, they're seeing that, you know, people like myself, I'm a product of college. And when I first got out, it was a struggle, man, you know. And then on top of that, these kids have debt as well. So I'm telling them, you know, if college isn't either A, an option, or B, you're not interested in going, you can get the skills to know how to run a business through our program. And better yet, you're getting paid to do it.
And I would imagine every now and then you get a slice of pizza.
Oh, of course. If you work 6 hours in our store, typically it's you get a free meal. So,
all right.
So yeah, plenty of pizza.
Jay Rosati is the director of career development at Rosati's Pizza at Rosati University. So I want to find out more. Do I go to rosatipizza.com?
Yeah, so if you go on our site and scroll, you can go to our careers tab. On our careers tab, you just scroll down, you'll see Rosati U right there. Our page, you scroll to the bottom, you can fill out some information. But if you're interested in getting this program and you want, you know, direct to the man in charge, you can shoot me an email at jay@rosati.com.
Nice to talk to you, Jay. What a good idea. Good luck to you on this.
Thank you so much. Take care.